I intend to preach all these four sermons in the book of Luke, and then this month is about money, wealth, and possessions. And next month we carry on a couple of Sundays about the Lord's Supper, again from Luke, and in about us as a Christians, the struggle that sometimes we face. But today is last week we read about the rich fool, and today we are going to read a passage that is very convicting and comforting. So we hope that today is working. And so if you have your Bibles, please turn to your Bibles and in the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 22 to 34. Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 34. The word of God says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storerooms or barns, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Is that how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire? How much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagans war runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves, that you will not wear out a treasure in heaven, that you will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Today, we're going to be talking about do not worry, faith in wealth. Somebody could ask, maybe, what if we don't have much money or possessions? Jesus has something to say to those who have few possessions. The key phrase he uses is, "Don't worry." And in all this passage, Jesus forbids to the worrier. And the Greek present imperative here denotes that we should be constantly free of anxiety. Jesus has something to say, don't worry. We should not be very agitated about our physical circumstances. For Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or your body, what you will wear." If we were captured in greed, or last week we read, or worry, we miss out about real life. So let's begin to explore these verses. Chapter 12, verses 22 to 23, Jesus says to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes." Jesus' point is, life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Very simple. But we could miss the point because it's very profound. Sometimes we get on treadmills that assume that the material aspects of life are all that is all about. The key phrase he uses, "don't worry," is the Greek merimanao. Have anxiety, being anxious, concerned, cared for, be concerned about something. And this word is mentioned here twice. Verse 22 says, do not worry about your life. Verse 25, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Jesus knew that humans, we worry. How many of you do not worry? How many of you do worry? We are blessed today, but we are worried about tomorrow. You have a blessing today, and we worry about tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. What will happen next week? We anticipate things. God is more than a good meal, a good business. The Greek word means to be anxious. And now the German word for this word, you know, word has sometimes like a graphic meaning. And the German word is like a strangle or choke. So when we do word, it's like a, what's going to happen? It's a good word. The German, the meaning of that word is, you know, to be like that. That is the meaning of the word. The bottom line of the worry is, you know, worry is destructing God. It is distrusting the promises of God or providence. So I will say, I want you to repeat this. Worry is distrusting God. Shall we say it together? When I worry, I am not trusting God. And that's very dangerous. Jesus never ordered to be lazy. I have some friends that say, well, I will not worry. I need to get a job. I will not worry. And they will not get up and go and look for a job. So they're a little bit, that is something different. That's lazy. You know, somebody, what he is teaching here is that we need to do our best and to leave the rest to God. So, well, if I need a job, I have to get up, look for the job, pray about it, and leave it to God. The worry is small, but could cause so much damage. I didn't know that one glass of water can cause a dense fog. And when you come from places like me that come from a hot, my city is very hot, you know, and I don't see so much foggy. And then when you are driving, so dangerous. And you know what? A dense fog can be caused just from a glass of water. That's what worry does. When we start worrying about something, it could cause damage. One thing can cause us to forget about anything else. Worry can cause things in our lives that prevent us to honor God. We have trouble concentrating at work. We have trouble to be concentrated at church. And it could upset your stomach because we do worry. So the first thing here that the text is telling us, first of all, is that Jesus is asking us to consider the things around us. Jesus is asking us to consider the things around us. Now that Jesus has introduced his principle, what is his principle? Don't worry. He says, consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storerooms or barns, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Now the word translated consider is the Greek word that means notice, observe something carefully, look, check it, contemplate. We are invited with Jesus to contemplate what we see around us. He says, consider the ravens. The ravens. According to the Mosaic law, Jews could not eat only clean birds, such as dove and other birds that fed on grains, but not unclean birds, including the ravens. Leviticus 11:15, Deuteronomy 14:14 tell us that the ravens were unclean birds. He said, consider the ravens. They will not eat birds that will eat disgusting things and blood. Jesus has told the parable of the rich fool before. That's the context of our passage. Who is ready to tear down barns, his storehouses, build bigger ones. Now he singles out the raven for consideration. Hey, look, consider, contemplate the ravens, who doesn't sow or reap and doesn't have any storeroom, is not a clean bird. And get you, Father, who is in heaven, look after the raven. The rich man has every advantage. The raven has none. Yet the raven has an even greater advantage. God. God himself provides food for the unclean raven. God himself makes a way for this black, discredited bird. When we worry about food, we leave out the God factor. God feeds them. Consider the ravens. God feeds them. And then Jesus reminds his disciples that they are much greater the value than birds. This is the argument of lesser to greater. If God even feeds unclean birds, he will much more provide for humans. Of course, this doesn't mean that we have raven A, B, C, and God comes. Raven A, time for dinner. Raven B, is your breakfast? No. These ravens have to go and look for food, searching, working hard. They spend day finding food and devouring it. It's not an easy victory. The ravens have to go and work. So we are not expected to be on an easy street. But we are to expect him to provide. He said, do not worry. Now, the following verses, in verses 27 to 28, he carries on saying, consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Jesus has his hearing. Consider how God feeds the ravens, to assure them that God will provide the food they need. Now he illustrates God how he will provide these beautiful flowers. Maybe it's summertime. You can see these wonderful flowers, the lilies. Hey, consider them. But they are here today. They will not be here tomorrow. God clothes them. How much more? The second thing Jesus is teaching here is why worrying is wrong. First, Jesus asked to consider the things around, and now he said why worrying is so wrong. Verse 25 and 26 says, who of by you worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Worry cannot accomplish anything. Anything at all. Jesus says, so why you do it? It could cause so much damage. The worry is small, but the damage is huge. One thing causes us to forget about anything else. Worry can cause things in our lives that prevents to honor God. We have trouble, as I say, concentrating at work, in churches, in our families. Worry affects our circulation, our mind, our heart. God gave us the gift of life. He wants us the best for us. Worry affects our circulation. Hospitals and doctor surgeries are full with people suffering from depression and blood pressure. You know why? How it started? Worry. Worry. We could say, I am exaggerating. No, it's true. Worry affects our personal relationships with God, for it is destructing God. Shall we say that together? Just to be a reminder, the final two lines in yellow. Worry affects our We all have problems. How many of you do not have problems? How many of you have problems? Yeah. But when we worry, we make it worse. We covet things that we don't have. Jesus is saying, look and see the value of you. I value you. You are more than ravens. You are more than the flowers. Peter was a warrior. He was walking towards Jesus, and he was about to perform that wonderful miracle. That was amazing to see Peter walking on water. And suddenly he worry about the winds, and he sank. Peter was a warrior, because when Peter, he was worried about taxes. In some of the scriptures, he was worried about the taxes. He said, who is going to betray you? He was ready to fight for Jesus. He took his sword because he was worried about his master. And that's what we do when we worry. We want to fight back. We want to do it in our way, like Peter. Sometimes we do worry. Perhaps you do your best, but the things are not happening. But after many years, the warrior, Peter the warrior, wrote something beautiful. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, he wrote this word, Peter the warrior. He says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Peter the warrior. So we are in good company. But let's not stay there. We need to exercise our will not to worry. I will do my best, and I will do the rest to God. That is what I do. Sometimes when I'm going to do something, I say, I'm going to do my best, and I will leave it to God. The God of universe cares about me, cares about you, so I have to believe in him and cast all my worries onto him. Verse 25 says that worry accomplishes nothing. If you can accomplish anything by worrying, why you do it? Worry could cause damage, but worry is wrong because we get distracted. We get distracted. Years ago, I like to do this. I don't know if you have come across a book called The Five Languages of Love. Yeah? So that book, I tend to teach couples the five languages of love. Very briefly, it's like, the guy who wrote the book. But anyway, he argues that in all our life, we have five languages that we speak in love. So, for example, some people speak the language of gift. So when you give that person a gift, you are filling her or his tank of love. So another person, no, that doesn't mean anything. Or service. Some people, for example, if they like to give service to people, they like to receive that service. And then we have like these five languages. So what happened is words of affirmation is another language. So they like to be affirmed, and they will be affirming to people. Some people, for example, if they like the gift, if you send them a card, that means a lot. If they don't receive a card for their birthday, they are empty. So in couples, when we worry, we need to fill that tank. And then because we worry, we don't worry about our partner. And perhaps she likes service. And simple things fill your wife's tank, love. So she would like you to take the trash out, to clean the toilet, to do the shopping. For you, maybe it's nothing. But when we worry, we are busy, we tend not to do it. You know, that causes problems in couples. Words of affirmation. For some people, if people say, oh, it's nothing. But some people, oh, you look wonderful today. You make her day. This is true. So I like this book. So what happened is, when we worry, We don't think about it. In churches, some people could come to church, and the moment the person is at the door, they said, welcome. Maybe that person, that's what she needs, or that's what he needs. Just a smile. And you know what? They are open to receive what the Lord has prepared. But because we are worried, I have to be at the door today. You are worried about your job. What's going to happen with the children? You know, tend to forget. You see the point. When we do worry, we miss the blessing. That is what the text is saying. Jesus says, consider. Hey, why do you worry? What is so? Because it could cause damage. You could get distracted. And people get distracted. Some people watch TV and they are worried. And they become couch potatoes. And they don't take drugs. Sometimes start smoking. And you know, you worry. You try and start eating because you are worried too much. You could fall into pornography. Worry is not something of a virtue for a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what worry does. Finally, what to do when worry comes to our lives? Jesus invites his hearers to be concerned only about what? The kingdom of God. Let's read verse 31 in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, 31 said, but seek his kingdom and these things, what things? The things that we do worry will be given to you as well. Seek the kingdom of God. Worry, fear is a great obstacle to obeying Christ. If we don't worry about the necessity of life, then we could be generous with what God has provided us. You know, you are just at the door, ready to do the service for God, but you are worrying. You are worrying about what is happening in your life, and you miss the opportunity to welcome that person, and that person is not blessed because what? We were worried. I could come to teach my Sunday school class, the young people, the youth, and I could come to preach, and I worry. That is what happens. So we miss life. We come to play an instrument, and we worry, and that, come, seek the kingdom of God. Leave it to him. Do your best. You play your best, your instrument. You sing the best. You teach the best you can teach. And then the kingdom is enlarged. But guess what? We do worry. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says, let's read together this. Philippians is on the screen. Yes. Shall we read it together? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. What I must do if I worry? Well, I go to God. The first thing we do is to pray. Spend time with him. Face to face. Bringing our supplication about something. Are you struggling with your family? Don't worry. Come to God. Your job. Your health. I heard that, but I do worry. I remember, you know, sometimes in churches, you know, you finish the service. I understand what you are saying, but I still worry. And I am the first one to say that. It's about a personal relationship with God every single day. It's not like a mystical key. I have this problem. I'm going to pray to God and then it will be given to you. No. Not just Sunday. Not just the prayer meeting. It's every day. Remember, worry makes us to be distracted. Hey, we need to pay bills. We need to look after our parents, our children, our grandchildren. We don't want to be like the religious people, but supplication is every day. We speak with God, recognizing what we need. Even if we see the flowers with the beauty of God, He cares for them. We care for the raven. He will come to us. And when we are walking with Him, we can see all the promises that God has for us. All the promises. And we are reminded. Hebrews. In Hebrews, we have this wonderful promise. I like this promise. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. He says, in Him we were also, what? Chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. When I see this promise, I know that I have been chosen. When you see that promise, hey, I've been chosen to do something. I don't know. You will discover when you walk with Jesus every day. We will not discover that if our relationship is not there. We are citizens of God's kingdom. So He has everything worked out. He promised us that everything will be good for us. He has a perfect plan for me. He has a perfect plan for you. Because I am more to Him than the flowers, the lilies, the ravens around me. Circumstances could be bad at the moment. Remember that worry is what? Distrusting God. Worry is what? Distrusting God. When I worry, I deny that He is God, the awesome God. That's what we do. But we sing away. Our God is an awesome. I love that song. I could be singing it for many times. Worry is distracting. Can I say that God knows everything? He's under control. When we worry, we add more problems. Says verse 31. Jesus said, every day bring His own. Why you are bringing more problems? We are fragile. Jesus compares us with fragile creatures. What is it that we are to do? To seek the Father's kingdom, because He will shelter us. He will nourish us. Seek the kingdom of God, and these things will be given to you as well. Focus on the problems and struggle of life, and you get anxiety. But focus on God and His provision, and you are flooded with the peace of God. When we trust in God, we could be generous. Jesus' disciples are called not to accumulate possessions, but to use them to meet other people's needs. If we worry, it means that we are self-focused, but treasure and life is found in God in the service of others. I am a warrior. And I used to worry a lot. In my final year of college, I met a South Korean student. He has a degree in philosophy in South Korea, and now we became friends. And he was doing, I'm going to start doing a research about worship in multicultural churches, and he wanted to come and visit the church, how the church was doing. And he came one service, and we invited him for lunch. You know what he said? Freddie, do you worry? I said, why are you saying that? He picked it up. And he says, I'm going to tell you my story, my friend. He told me, I have a degree in philosophy. I was doing a lot of cleaning in London. Cleaning here, cleaning there, to study English. In my heart, I left South Korea, said I wanted to do a degree in theology because I feel I have been called to be trained to teach theology. Maybe to go back to South Korea or maybe going to North Korea. But I came to London and I start cleaning here, cleaning there, but in my heart said, I'm going after that. He just planned it all. And after that, they'll get my degree in theology here. I will not do my master here. I will do it in America. Okay? I sense that God has called me to do that. When my visa, student visa, was about to expire, I joined Spurgeon's College. They accepted me to do a degree in theology, but my visa was about to run out December that year. So I started my course, Spurgeon's. But before that, I went back to South Korea with £300 in my pocket because that was what I managed to gather, cleaning here, cleaning there. And the college accepted me. So I went to South Korea's British Consulate, and they deny my visa. What are you doing? With £300, you don't have even money to get a meal for the whole month. But I went back home and prayed, said, but God, I sense that that's what I have to do. He went back, visa denied. But he sensed, I'm going back to London, and I'm going to college. I was accepted, and I start my degree. One evening, I says, I don't have to be worried about it. Why do I worry? And he noticed that his visa was about to expire. And I said, well, if it means I have to go back to South Korea, that's it. One afternoon, one of the lecturers called him. Do you like to come to my office? I said, yeah, okay. Last night, somebody paid £24,000 for your whole training here in college. These are the papers. These are the bank accounts. Go to South Korea. And now he was training. And he has his degree. He finished, and now he's in America. But the most important thing, he knew that I was worried because I was facing my final year. I needed good books. Two of my most expensive books. Do you think who gave it to me? This guy. So he said, Freddie, don't worry. My friends, that's what Jesus says. We do worry. I don't know where you stand tonight. Jesus concludes saying, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 34, he leaves his disciples with a clear question. What is your real treasure? What is your real treasure? What absorbs your attention and your time? What is it that worries you? Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus calls you to live in his kingdom. He calls me to live in his kingdom. Not in an unseen kingdom. No, he's here. Kingdom in which he will meet every need of your body, mind, soul, and spirit. The gift of the kingdom is intended to encompass your heart. So I ask you again, where is your treasure? What absorbs your attention and your time? Your children? Your grandchildren? Is your money? Well, Jesus says, your heart will also be there. That's the difference. My attention was, I needed this, and I was worrying, and I overlooked my family. Perhaps I overlooked my congregation. Because what I did? Worry. Worry is distrusting God. Where is your treasure? Where is my treasure? William Barclay says that in this passage, Jesus is saying, bend all your lives to obeying God's will and rest content with that. Bend all. So many people give all their effort to heap up things which in their very nature cannot last. We have a brand new car today. It's amazing. Some people do not buy new cars Because the moment you drive your car out of the garage, is what? 20% easy. Or sometimes we have a wonderful houses. Sometimes when I travel, you see, okay, that's brand new and everything, but next year they have to redecorate everything. You and me are called to work for the things which last forever. Things which we need to leave behind when we leave this earth. But, you know, which cannot take it. I cannot take my car. I cannot take the house. I cannot take my business. I cannot take my bank account with me. Are we laying our treasures in heaven? In our lives, if our clothes, our souls is dressed with garments of honor and purity and goodness. Nothing on earth can injure us because we are laying treasures there. If a man seeks the treasure of heaven, his heart will be fixed on heaven. But if he or she seeks the treasure of earth, his heart will be attached to earth. And the sad news is that someday he must say goodbye to them. In the Gospel of Luke, wealth is, in particular, and possessions in general, is not money. It's our time. It's our skills. And we find the answer. It is mammon, in almost agnosticized power. It's a power that takes our attention. We do worry. Okay, where your treasure is, will you do worry about that, and you neglect the things that we are to do? Are you investing in a treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroy? If not, why not to start today by putting your faith in him? Regardless the circumstances, you will know that God cares for you more than the ravens, more than the lilies. Victor Hugo says this: when you have accomplished your daily task, go to sleep in peace. God is awake. Don't worry, because your Father in heaven is looking after you. He's looking after what we do. He's looking after this church. And our duty is to seek his kingdom and all these things will be given to us. As we meet some of the deacons who are being elected this week, we pray that God will give us direction. And I will not worry, because we are to seek the kingdom of God, and he will be with us if we are going to do his will in this place. When you have accomplished your daily task, go to sleep in peace. God is awake. Don't worry. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, forgive us when we worry about our families, about our jobs, about our ministry, about our church. Help us not to be distracted. Help us to understand that it's dangerous. It's a dangerous business to be worried. And help us to seek your face, your kingdom, your will, knowing that when that happens, you will be there for us. Help us to do our best and leave it to you and be at peace. I pray for that person this evening who has been so worried about a particular issue. Father, may your word be real in her life, in his life. May this person learn not to worry, because you are an awesome God who is going to answer her prayers, his prayers. Amen.